You're listening to a Radio 191 FM podcast.
You're tuned into R1 News at 1. Every weekday from 1 till 2 p.m., our dedicated news team brings you the hard-hitting stories, interviews, and culture pieces from across Otepoti, Dunedin.
Good afternoon. You're listening to Radio 1 News at 1. My name is Celia.
And I'm Tristan.
And I'm Adam.
And we are your hosts this afternoon. We'll be back shortly with today's news bulletin after Marco Road, Stranger Days. This is the R1 News Bulletin for Wednesday, 24th of July. I'm Celia.
I'm Tristan.
I'm Adam.
In student news, Otago students might soon have universal access to closed caption lecture recordings, thanks to a new policy proposed by the OUSA executive, Critic Te Arahi reports. Last week, all students received surveys to provide feedback on this policy. OUSA exec members have been advocating for this change, which received 82.3% approval in a first semester referendum. Despite strong student support, official university feedback is still needed to implement the policy. Many hearing-impaired, neurodiverse and dyslexic students have expressed support, while some staff have raised concerns about the changes. Feedback is open until August the 6th, with the goal of having the policy in place by next year. In Otepoti news, about 20 protesters marched to the New Zealand Defence Force's recruitment office on Cumberland Street on Monday, the ODT reports. Co-organiser Neve Ashton stated that the protest was against the New Zealand Defence Force's involvement in the RIMPAC exercise, the world's largest international maritime exercise, due to Israel's participation. "We want our concern about Israel's disregard for human rights and the Gaza conflict to be heard," Ashton said. The group called for New Zealand to withdraw from the exercise to stand against the actions of the Israeli government. The protest drew attention from passersby and media, highlighting the local community's engagement in international human rights issues.
In national news, Katie Fitzgerald of RNZ reported on Tuesday morning that the Department of Conservation have given a warning to the reality TV show Race to Survive New Zealand after its contestants ate a protected bird. The reality show involves participants racing each other over hundreds of kilometres of harsh terrain with only what they can carry. The US Whitewater River guides Spencer Corey Jones and teammate Oliver Dev were disqualified after the incident in a clip from the show. Jones apologised on camera and had said that it did not sit lightly with him. He continued saying he was desperate and hungry, but knew that he was breaking the rules when he did it. DOC said it was clear with the production company that protected species could not be harvested or consumed, and had said the company alerted them about the incident shortly after. DOC team lead of investigation Dylan Swain said the company was on notice about the need for program participants to follow conservation rules. He said that there were a unique set of circumstances at play and that cast members were fatigued and suffering from significant hunger with an unusual group dynamic. He said this led to the department to decide that a warning letter was prudent. The show airs on USA Network and said in an article on its website that the pair were disqualified from the competition.
A multi-million dollar class action lawsuit has been filed against Gloria Vale and five government agencies by former Gloria Vale members who claim that they had been held as slaves from birth by Gloria Vale's community leaders, Jean Edwards of RNZ reports. Former community members Anna Courage, Pearl Valor, Gideon Benjamin and Hosea Courage are seeking a declaration from the New Zealand High Court that the government has breached international treaties by failing to protect the children of Gloria Vale from forms of child labour. The group representing Gloria Vale leavers are seeking damages of $2.5 million. The plaintiffs argue that the Christian community leaders' absolute control of the community resulted in a master-slave relationship where many were held as property, stripped of free will, and deliberately entrapped into slavery. Furthermore, the group purports that the New Zealand government has breached two international labour organisation treaties and that the Christian Church Community Trust should not be registered as a charitable trust. In international news, following the withdrawal of Joe Biden from the 2024 U.S. general election, Vice President Kamala Harris has all but clinched the Democratic Party nomination in a show of party unity. As of this morning, Wednesday, July 24th, the Associated Press confirmed that more than 3,000 delegates plan to support the Vice President, easily surpassing the 1,976 delegates needed to win the nomination. Although the Democratic Party nomination is not set in stone, and to the Democratic Party convention in August, no other delegate has committed support with only 45 delegates still standing as undecided. In the wake of this nomination, Harris met a roaring crowd in the key battleground state of Wisconsin today in a campaign rally, declaring that the November election will be a choice between freedom and chaos. Harris's campaign has garnered more than $100 million in donations since Biden's withdrawal. Following this revitalization of the Democratic Party, a nationwide Reuters-Ipsos poll of 1,241 American adults saw Kamala Harris open up with a marginal 2 percentage point lead of 44% to 42% over Republican Donald Trump.
A global tech outage relating to a software update by cybersecurity firm CrowdStrike affected nearly 8.5 million Microsoft devices, Microsoft said in a blog post. The software update by CrowdStrike, one of the largest operators in the industry, triggered systems problems that grounded flights, forced broadcasters off-air, and without access to services such as healthcare or banking. The Microsoft blog states, while the percentage was small, the broad economic and societal impacts reflect the use of CrowdStrike by enterprises that run many critical services. The air travel industry was recovering on Saturday from the outage as it caused thousands of flights to be cancelled, leaving passengers stranded or experiencing hours of delay. Delta Airlines, an airline that was hit hard by the glitch, said that as of 10 a.m. on Saturday, more than 600 flights had been cancelled. Microsoft, who are keen to point out that this was not an issue with its own software, says that the incident highlights how important it is for companies such as CrowdStrike to use quality control checks on updates before sending them out. Joe Tidy from BBC News reports that the fallout from the IT glitch has been enormous and has already been considered one of the worst cyber incidents in history. The number given by Microsoft means it is probably the biggest ever cyber event, eclipsing all previous hacks and outages. Tidy mentions that the closest to this is the WannaCry cyber attack in 2017, in which it was estimated to have impacted 300,000 computers in 150 countries. Then there was a similar costly and disruptive attack called NotPetya a month later. The outage has prompted warnings by cybersecurity experts and agencies around the world about a wave of opportunistic hacking attempts linked to the IT outage. Cyber agencies in the UK and Australia have warned people to be vigilant around fake emails, calls, and websites that pretend to be official. Joe Tidy reports that whenever there is major news linked to technology, hackers respond by tweaking their existing methods to take into account the fear and uncertainty. According to researchers at SecureWorks, there has been a sharp rise in CrowdStrike-themed domain registrations. Cybersecurity agencies around the world urge IT responders to only use CrowdStrike's website to source for information and help. Individuals may also be targeted and are being warned by experts to be hyper-vigilant and only act on information from official CrowdStrike channels.
This has been the R1 News Bulletin for Wednesday, 24th of July. Today's bulletin was written by Adam Stightley, Tristan Serrano, and Celia Ward, and read to you by Adam Stightley, Tristan Serrano, and Celia Ward.
Those were the headlines for today on R1 News at 1. Catch up on previous R1 News wherever you get your podcasts, or head to r1.co.nz/news.
You've been listening to Radio 1 News at 1. We'll be back shortly with the weather, but first up is Midnight Driving Teenage Dads.
The R1 News at 1 weather forecast.
That's right, I'm here with the weather forecast. It is super sunny and warm today. The high is 15 degrees and it's going to stay pretty close to that for the next wee while. So it is perfect to have some pints before pint night out in the sun.
The R1 News at 1 weather forecast.
And next up for you, we have Yumi Zuma, Weathered Light Used to Lay. This is the R1 News.
I'm getting stuck, taking a break, yeah, I'm leaving, baby, I can't take it, I've had enough of more. I'm thinking, it takes consistency. This is worth all the pain. Dreaming forever of a life you got you down on your knees.
Listening to Radio 1 News at 1. The time is 1:25. We've been your host this afternoon and we hope you have a wonderful day. Coming up is In the Clouds by Skeeks.
You've been listening to R1 News at 1 here on Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi. The R1 News is uploaded daily wherever you get your podcasts or head to r1.co.nz/news to get yourself all caught up. Additionally, you can follow R1 News NZ to keep up to date with all our newsworthy happenings.
That was a Radio 1 91FM podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.